This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Jonathan Cooper is at training camp, so we're going to get into that. He's not actually practicing or participating, but Troy Rank wrote up a fascinating piece in the Denver Post of maybe this is a bad look for once for Broncos ownership. They haven't really had many issues since running this team, so we'll get into that today. Kevin Lytle will join us. Pac-12, it's new, it's back, Conference of Champions, baby. Kevin's going to outline some of the biggest non-conference games in the Pac-12, especially for CSU, coming up a little bit later on the show. Top stories of the day. Really interesting story coming out of Wyoming, courtesy of Alex Taylor, good friend of ours. So I'm going to talk about that as well. And whatever else we stumble upon on this fine Thursday morning. The whole show starts right now. July is my least favorite month. I have decided. Do you have a least favorite month by chance, Michael? Is that something that you think about? Does that come up in a conversation for you?
No, not really, but I do hate it when it's hot. And so, there's no football.
Yeah.
I do like Independence Day.
I do. That's cool. I love the 4th of July. I love that, the lead up to that, you know, to celebrate our independence and, you know, fireworks, whatever. I do love that. But it seems like after that, the rest of the month is just awful because it's really hot. You're kind of in no man's land in the sports world.
Yeah, you just have baseball and you're waiting for football.
Baseball's fine, but with the Rockies, you know, again, being better and more competitive, that's fun. That's good. But it's just not – there's just not as much going on. You're building up the training camp. And I used to really love training camp, Mike. And this is going to go on our preseason conversation that we had yesterday with Tanner. You say you're the only fan that likes the preseason, and Tanner hates the preseason. I think you're both wrong. I will say training camp can be a little much, a little boring, you know, and especially when you have a key player with an injury, like the Bo Nix ankle thing. Why is that one annoying me so much? I mean, we've had players with injuries before. Lord knows I've talked about Aaron Gordon and his hamstrings a lot. We've talked a lot about injuries on this show. But for some reason, I guess it's because it's a quarterback.
It's a quarterback and also the way it happened.
Very dramatic.
It suddenly happened. Nobody knew about it. Then you had that tiny little controversy. Well, my ankle, his ankle, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. There was a controversy around the ankle a little bit. But it's just one of these stories that if it happens to your quarterback, because Mike, we're not talking about J.K. Dobbins. How much have you heard about J.K. Dobbins and his injury and his comeback from an injury?
Not that much.
You had I saw Ben Powers played with a messed up leg. I don't know if you saw that story. I don't have it in front of me, but I mean we're just now hearing about that. But you get a quarterback injury, then yeah, heck yeah, we're gonna milk that story.
Feed
until
into
there's
the ground.
Absolutely nothing left. Yeah, that's why I joked yesterday with Sean Keeler with the Post because he's going to be out at Broncos camp next week. I said all I want to talk about is Bo's ankle. That's it. I don't want to talk about anything else. There is a pretty significant side story here. What do you think's the biggest story? Bo Nix's ankle or Jonathan Cooper?
I'd say Jonathan Cooper.
It should be, but not as many people are talking about that one as we are with your starting quarterback and his ankle.
Now, if it was your starting quarterback and he was in Jonathan Cooper's situation, that would be the issue. Like, sorry, guys, but his healthy ankle isn't that much of an issue. It's Jonathan Cooper, who possibly did some illegal things.
Yeah, and so Troy Rank has an interesting piece in the Denver Post this morning, Michael. The headline reads, Broncos' support of Jonathan Cooper puts ownership's reputation on the line. Denver's NFL franchise took the easy way out, he writes, by waiting on the resolution from a league investigation pending court case. I think this is just a no-win situation right now for the Broncos, because if you say he can't participate, like, he was stretching and everything. He was out there. He was at camp yesterday. I don't know if he actually participated much, but he had a helmet on. He was there. He wasn't just on the sidelines. He was actually getting into training camp. The team and Cooper back in June made the mutual decision for him to stay away from the end of mandatory minicamp last month. And that was supposedly creating some kind of road for Cooper to pursue mental health treatment for 40 days. And allow Greg Penner and Kerry Walton to gather more information. But apparently they gathered enough information to lead them to the conclusion of, hey, we'd rather have Cooper here. We want to show support for him. And I think that one is really interesting, too.
That's a tough call. I mean, if he's guilty, that's a bad look for you. If he's innocent, then that's you supporting your guy. But you can't be supporting someone who attacks women.
But again, if he didn't, is there? I mean, you sound like you're almost, you kind of made up your. I mean, you made up your mind a little bit there.
I mean, I don't know all the facts, but that nurse examination, that's a pretty tough one.
That's tough.
And you know, people make mistakes.
But what do the Broncos? But what do the Broncos know that would? I mean, Sean Payton was asked yesterday. You know, he said he's been fantastic. Another headline in the Post: amid domestic violence charges, Broncos Jonathan Cooper's training camp opens. "Quote: He's been fantastic." And it's hard because you're going to have a lot of groups that really don't want him involved at all. There are people that think he should stay away from the team until this is over. And then there are others that are doing the whole innocent until proven guilty thing. I think
still
that
bad luck.
I think there. So if you were the Walton Penner group, would you have said, let's just not show up? Let's not have you around training camp until this is resolved?
See, the issue with that is he's behind on what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be a football player.
Yeah.
If you leave him out of training camp, he's behind.
He's still being paid. He's still a paid employee, and you have not cut him. He still works for you. So the argument can be made, hey, we're going to get our money out of this guy. I mean, and again, you're going to have the groups, the women's rights activists that are definitely not, or advocates, I should say, are definitely not okay with this. This is the first kind of fork in the road, rock in a hard place, whatever you want to use, that we've seen Broncos new ownership involved in, Michael.
Well, there was that issue with the wide receiver a couple of years ago who allegedly locked his girlfriend out of the vehicle. I mean, that was a weird situation, but it didn't blow up like this did.
No, it really didn't. And, you know, we've praised the group, the ownership group, for a long time, you know, the facilities, the new stadium talk, the treatment of players, you know, the money that they're giving out, and the coaching staff, creating an avenue for George Payton and Sean Payton to work so well together. It's all been pretty seamless. They made mistakes on personnel. The Russell Wilson move was under their watch. They had just purchased the team, and George Payton had been hired, and one of his first moves was to trade for Russell Wilson, which that one's tough because you can't really look at that and say, oh, that was just a terrible move, because most of Broncos country was in on that move. We were all excited about that move. Nathaniel Hackett, you don't know what you don't know. A lot of young and up-and-coming coaches end up being great. Now, in retrospect, or Monday morning quarterback take on Hackett is if you look back and say, well, what did he do? Because when he was with Green Bay, he really wasn't the offensive coordinator. He was kind of a glorified quarterback's coach when he was with Green Bay. So why hire
that
guy?
That was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I wonder if they are having Jonathan Cooper come to practice and stretch and stuff out of support, not only for him, but for support of the team. I mean, how much do these teammates have his back?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. If he's innocent, then do you want to be the team that turned your back on him? You know, if he's found innocent and then you didn't allow him to come to camp and you kind of put the stiff arm up and kept him away, and so we're not even going to deal with you. If he's found innocent, that's hard to make up for. So,
well, like,
I don't really fault them for either one of these. I just think it's such a tough spot to be in. I don't really have that much energy one way or the other. I think I kind of just almost just agree with whatever decision they're doing. That doesn't mean I'm siding with Cooper or I'm excusing what he allegedly did. But I think you're just in a very tough predicament here. And I don't know if this is the right decision, but it's where we are. And it certainly has people talking about Broncos ownership.
Yeah, you're juggling the law with the optics with the locker room. Take a look at what the locker room says. If the locker room wants him at camp,
I'm sure they do.
That's a tough one.
I'm sure they do. I would imagine, Sean, you know, they're talking to their team leaders and players on this roster too, and the ownership group and Sean and George. I'm sure they've had exhausting conversations about what to do in this situation. But it's tough. Troy Rank writes, the Broncos chose to portray Cooper's situation as complex, requiring patience with limited options. But there was always a simple solution available. Cut him. And I don't think that's a simple solution, is it? Is it as simple as we want to make it out to be? If he's found innocent and you cut him, then you're going to look like not a great ownership group suddenly. You're going to look like you don't have the players' backs, that if anybody cries wolf, and I'm not saying that this would happen here. In fact, it might sound like the opposite. But if anyone does, you're going to tuck tail and run away from that problem as soon as it comes up.
This did happen with the Broncos a number of years ago. I don't know if the player was found innocent, but he was a really good cornerback. And there was a domestic violence situation or an accusation of some sort. Broncos cut him. I think he was found innocent, and then he ended up being with the 49ers. So, like, no matter what you do, this situation is going to be bad all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know that you want to be the team that cut him. I mean, odds are this is, based on the information we got about the forensic nurse, Michael, That's the part that leads my brain to believe that there's the smoke, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it seems like there's a lot of smoke around this.
Yeah, law enforcement can say what they want to say. They are specialists in a number of different things. The forensic nurse is a specialist in one thing, and that's what scares me the most.
Yeah, I mean, is there a world... Is there a world where she could have inflicted those marks on herself? How do you strangle yourself?
Yeah, and how do you do it that hard? And I assume a forensic nurse would know the difference.
Right. I would assume so. I mean, he was arrested twice, and I mean, he went back, he got arrested the first time, and then he went back to practice, and then police arrested Cooper again on misdemeanor charges of harassment and violation of a protection order, according to records. And again, I think Cooper's camp maintained that they weren't given that order. So that's why he broke it. But it's a bad look either way. And I think this is for the first time. You mentioned a few different stories under this ownership group, sure. But there's nothing been that big of a negative around them. This is the first one that can be perceived that way, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, and that other story was a number of coaches ago. Like that was that might have been 2012, 2013. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Eastside Chris texting, as soon as there is a Walmart boycott, things might be difficult. Well, just right now, it does kind of feel like you got Bo Nix's ankle. It's the start of training camp. This story, this Cooper story, is not as big as it was a month ago. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a bigger story right now because he's at camp.
I guess, yeah. If he wasn't at camp, then you would probably not be talking about this at all, and we'd just be waiting to see what happens. But they still believe in this guy because, yeah, would it be easier to cut this guy?
If he was third stringer or practice squatter, he'd be gone.
Yeah, he'd be gone. But they invested, you know, some good money into him. There would have been an $18.2 million salary cap hit for the Broncos to do this. So there's the financial aspect of that, too.
I mean, if he's found guilty and the NFL still says you're allowed to have him, do you want him in that locker room? Do you want to trade him for something?
You should cut bait. I think you should cut bait because it's going to be a minimum six games. But the NFL could even come in more hard. They could give him a year. I know some people don't think that, but
I don't think they'd give him a year. They could. But they would.
I think it'd be more than six.
At least 8 weeks.
If he's found guilty. Well,
yeah.
Then he's probably
if the NFL determines.
Well, the
that
NFL still might if he's found guilty, Mike. We're talking jail time and such, right?
Yeah, he'll be away for a bit, and he might be able to resurrect his career.
Now, if he's found innocent, or they, you know, come to a settlement, and he's not found guilty, the NFL can still act and say, "Yeah, we did our own research on this, and we're going to suspend you for 6 weeks, if not more." And then you have a decision to make if you're the Broncos. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Kevin Lytle's going to join us at the bottom of this hour, and we'll talk about the Pac-12 and some of those big non-conference games Kevin has highlighted as big ones for the Pac-12. They want to try to prove that they are a legitimate conference, a maybe even power conference. If they want to do that, this is where it starts. They have to win more non-conference games than lose. And that's how it starts for the Pac-12. So very important first year, first new, I guess, revived year for the Pac-12. 23 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Michael, do you remember that story earlier this summer with Seth Wickersham about Sean Payton? He had spent a lot of time with Sean, and he revealed that Sean was willing to go for it in that Bills game, in that playoff game, on 4th and 11 on their own 38-yard line. So Sean was asked about that yesterday. And he confirmed it. He said he did call a fake punt. Wow, for the Broncos. And he said it was a sign of great respect for Josh Allen. Essentially, he said this is a great sign of respect for, I think, one of the better elite quarterbacks in our league. Now they didn't fake punt it, as we know. 4th and 11, Broncos punter Jeremy Crawshaw instead put up a 55-yard bomb to pin Allen and the Bills at their own 7-yard line. And that was nine players later, Jaquan McMillan took the ball away from Brandon Cooks. And it was a crazy interception. And they got the game-winning field goal at the end of this one. And it was awesome. It was crazy. Peyton said he was talking about it. He said the front six man front, seven man front, eight man front was a little nebulous between six and eight, and totally saw the can it call, but I felt really good about getting 11 yards. Now we canned it and punted it out at the seven, and it worked out. That's what Luca Evans writes in the Denver Post. That's crazy to me, Michael. That's Madden video game stuff right there. Fourth and 11 on your own 38-yard line, and he was willing to do that. If they would have went for it and didn't get it...
Oh, the anger.
My gosh, the anger. Like, that would be... So, like, we don't like the... Was it a quarterback keeper on the Jarrett Stidham fourth one instead of kicking the field goal, wasn't it? Instead of running the ball or whatever, you put it in Jarrett Stidham's hand? Wasn't that the play? What was that play? What play call was it?
I think you're right.
Yeah. That would have been nothing compared to faking a punt or from your own 38-yard line when you have 11 yards to go. It's hard to get 11 yards anyway.
It wouldn't just be the armchair quarterbacks out there in the world.
No.
It would be the NFL media.
That would have cost you the game. Mike, that would have cost you the game. Bills have the ball, short field. They're in field goal range already. I mean, pretty close to field goal range, at least. So that, I mean, it's wild to me. But he's admitting it. He's not running away from it. Meanwhile, Bo Nix, everything looks good. Mike, camp updates with him. That's the big one. And he looks good. Another little side note here. The Broncos rehired, formerly fired, assistant Michael Wilhoit to their defensive staff. He was seen working with the team's outside linebackers and defensive line on Wednesday.
Why was he fired?
He was fired in March of 25 after he allegedly punched a police officer in the face in the drop-off line at Denver International Airport.
Yeah, that was a justified firing.
Yeah, but I think it was he was cleared. He was cleared by all of it.
Oh, okay.
I think it was. So they rehired him back. So, I mean, just a lot of little interesting notes surrounding the Broncos, and started with Jonathan Cooper. But yeah, that the Wilhoit thing was fascinating, and that they moved on pretty quickly. But I think it was I don't know how that one resulted, but I think it ended up being settled. 30 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle's going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and it is a big year for the Pac-12, the first year with the new Pac-12. Kevin's going to highlight a lot of the non-conference games that are going to be so special coming up here, or so important for the Pac-12, to try to prove that they're relevant when it comes to playoff talk and it comes to power conference talk and all of that. They're somewhere in between. Maybe. And maybe that's not even fair to say. But we'll discuss with Kevin coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado, and talk a little CSU and Pac-12 with us this morning. Kevin, last year I asked you, since it was the last year in the Mountain West, and you want to set yourself up and look great in the Pac-12, and I think I asked you something along the lines of if that was the most important season in CSU history. Well, now I'm going to ask you the same thing. I mean, first year in the Pac-12, it's huge for everybody in the Pac-12. Does this feel, you know, Jim Mora, all that, does this feel like the most important season thus far in CSU history?
You know, I think it's hard to say in history. You know, that's obviously quite a big thing. You know, and retroactively, obviously, you can look at some of the really successful seasons and say, well, it could have been that. But yeah, I mean, given the state of college sports and the changes that have happened and almost certainly will continue to happen, this is a super critical time. I mean, CSU just can't keep losing and expect to, you know, reach the places they want to reach. And that's not just success. It's more, you know, it's the on-field success that leads to the other things too. So yeah, it's a super important season. I'm not really going to say biggest ever, but I think it's a huge one.
Yeah, it's pretty big for all of the new Pac-12 teams as well. You outlined this in your piece in the Fort Collins Coloradoan, the most important Pac-12 non-conference games this upcoming season. This is big. I mean, this is when you talk about where the Pac-12 stands. Are they a power conference? Are they a group of conference? Are they somewhere in between? Well, if you can go out and have a good showing in your non-conference, that's the first step. Is it to prove that you are more of a power conference, this would be the first step.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I've said this before too, of, you know, one season shouldn't kind of dictate the national perception if this new league works or doesn't work or whatever. But in a lot of ways, it will. This new Pac-12 needs to have some big wins. And I kind of highlighted for every team sort of their biggest or maybe a couple biggest non-conference games. Now, that's not saying the Pac-12 needs to win all of them. Like, if Boise State loses at Oregon, you know, that's not a bad loss, obviously. But they need some big wins. They need some of the big, you know, I kind of call them head-to-head wins against other group of six conferences. And they need to line themselves up. I've said this a million times. Pac-12 needs to be lined up to get a team in the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the real mark there, too, is if you can get a team in the playoff, then you're certainly, and more often than not, then you're certainly deeper into those conversations. Kevin, talk to us a bit about some of these non-conference games that specifically stick out to you with the rest of the Pac-12, but also CSU.
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of going through the league, Boise State starts at Oregon. So, you know, 2 years ago when Boise made the playoff, their close loss at Oregon was honestly one of their top resume pieces, which is kind of funny to say about loss, but it is true. So that's a huge one. Then a week later, in some ways, I think this one is bigger. They host Memphis, and that's obviously a name that's been floated as a potential Pac-12 addition. It's, you know, from the American, which I think a lot of people think is kind of the top competitor with the Pac as, you know, sort of the fifth best conference. And, you know, all those things combined, I think that's a big head-to-head game for the Pac to win. So I think that's a really important one. CSU, Wyoming, obviously locally, that's huge. But I think for, again, for the conferences, whoever wins that, you know, if Wyoming wins, Wyoming and Mountain West people will be saying, ha, 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 I told you so. And if CSU wins that, the Pac kind of gets a early stake of like, see, we told you our league is much better than yours. So some of these just have bigger stakes than even normal. Fresno State plays USC, which again, you don't expect Fresno to win that. But if they do, that would be quite a statement of intent. San Diego State plays both UCLA and James Madison, another one of those group of six. So there's just a lot. When you look through the league, there's just every team has probably at least two that you can flag as kind of really important for the Pac-12.
You said it too with CSU specifically, that Wyoming game. It just feels a little bit different. It's weird. They're not in the same conference anymore, but at least for this season, this one feels like it's going to be more of a hated game. It's always a hated game. Like, the two teams hate each other. All there's a bunch of sports hate here. But this one kind of feels like it's got a lot more juice than years past.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, whatever. 4 years down the road, does some of the, you know, angst and animosity from the split disappear? And it's, you know, it's obviously always going to be a rivalry. But does it go back to, quote-unquote, normal? But this year, absolutely no doubt. There's extra juice in it for a lot of reasons. And you throw in that it's week one. And, you know, I've said it, I've written it, everything. It's going to have an unusually large impact on how each fan base feels about their team, either positive or negative for whoever wins.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It's going to set the tone for the rest of the season early, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on who wins or loses that game. Kevin, we did a poll the other day just kind of trying to gauge the audience, like what's the most interesting program in our area, Wyoming included. And again, we, you know, my connection with you, I think we have more CSU people that follow me and follow my show than anything else. But I do think that it, you know, Jim Mora, his resume, the Pac-12, I do think CSU is the most interesting of all of them, at least close. CU is pretty interesting, too, because either you're going to get a story of redemption from Coach Prime, or it's going to be more of what we saw last year, and he might, you know, the deeper discussions are going to happen. But I don't think you can deny just how interesting this first season with Jim Mora and the Pac-12 is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly there's a group of social media followers who maybe would tell you about Boulder and the importance there. But yeah, I think just the unknown. I mean, we've talked about this before. I can talk myself pretty strongly into a whole bunch of different scenarios for CSU this year, because there's just so much uncertainty and both potential but also question marks. So yeah, we just don't know, and that makes this season so intriguing for so many reasons. Is that, gosh, there are about a million ways it could go.
Yeah. Oh, no, there really is. Kevin, do we know, do we have camp dates yet or anything? Have you heard anything on that side?
I believe CSU is starting about August 5th. Haven't got the official schedule yet, but sometime kind of middle next week should be official day one as they prepare for that Wyoming game.
All right, man. I'm really excited about this. I can't wait to see what this is all about. And honestly, just to learn more about, you know, what kind of team this is going to be with Jim Mora. You've done a great job of outlining, you know, the players and you know, giving us more insight to that. But there's still just a lot of unknown about CSU that we'll start to know more as we get into camp next season or
yeah,
next week.
I'm kind of writing a thing ahead of camp of some of the top questions facing CSU. And one of mine is just like, what's the identity? And sometimes I think kind of team identity as far as style can get overblown, but we really don't know. Is it, you know, is it going to be a run heavy, defensive dominant, pass heavy, quarterback run heavy? You know, there are just so many, again, unknowns. I keep using that word, but that's just what they are right now for us.
Yeah, and that's where I'm just chomping at the bit. Like, I mean, I was so excited with the Jim Mora news. I said it that day. Like, CSU went from the least interesting team in the Pac-12 to the most interesting team in the Pac-12, and then we had the Jim Mora press conference, and of course, a smattering of stories from you on this team. But yeah, it's kind of quiet right now. I'm ready to just get back at it and learn about this team because I think a lot of Rams fans are getting pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that September is just going to be massive between Wyoming, BYU comes to town.
Yeah.
You have Ag Day in there, of course, as well. I think CSU probably will set some program attendance records early on.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. I'm really looking forward to that one. Kevin, always appreciate your insight, man, and you know, getting into this season and learning more about CSU, and we'll have the return of Rams Weekly coming up next month, too, so I know we'll game plan on that, but we've got a ton of stuff ready to go, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited to get going again.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Texter here from the 970. I agree with your producer / co-host. He is not a co-host. He's barely a producer.
Co-host.
About the Pac-12. It should be called the LAC-12. Is that what you said? Did you say that?
No, I didn't, but I'm going to say that now.
No, it's the Conference of Champions. You can't do that for the Conference of Champions.
Well, the LAC-12 is a conference that lacking in championships.
Well, they're the Conference of Champions. Well, the champions, they've won championships. They've won Pac-12 championships. Pac-12 teams have won.
Count.
It's a championship. Is it not a championship?
Actual championships. You beat the rest of the nation.
I'm just saying. You said they have lack of championships. They've won championships.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about legit ones. And yes, they have won legit ones in the Division II or club teams. They've had a couple of national people,
mm-hmm.
like one
mm-hmm.
out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
State.
Man, that Wyoming CSU game is going to be. Like, they're not in the same conference anymore, but there's more hate in this game than I think ever before. Because you know Wyoming fans are like, think you're better than us. Like, more than ever. I think there's always been that feeling from Wyoming. Like, CSU thinks they're better than us.
They are.
Why? They weren't. They lost by 4 touchdowns last year. They got shut out.
Overall, if we're looking at body of work, CSU has done more in the existence of CSU than Wyoming has in the history of Wyoming.
The series is CSU 60 to 52.
Yeah, but I'm talking about also top 25s. The Rams have been ranked in the top 25 a lot under Sonny Lubick. What about Wyoming?
Yeah, you might have a point there. But I wasn't talking about CSU, like Wyoming saying that CSU thinks they're better than them at football. I think there's like this feeling of, oh, you just think you're better than us overall, like your school, your new shiny stadium, and now you leave us to go to the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's a Fort Collins thing, though.
I think if I'm Wyoming, I'm chomping at the bit for this game. And I want to beat the hell out of them if I'm Wyoming.
And I think we should give kudos to that texter right there for the excellent pun.
Was that a pun?
Lack 12, yeah. Pac-12.
Yeah. Is that a pun?
It was pretty punny.
Is that punny?
I gotta say, I'm going to use that from now on. That texter is awesome.
Every time you say it, I will just say Conference of Champions. So
can we give that texter a name?
Texter. Texter, write in your name. Write in your name. What is your nickname? Oh, Michael would like to know it.
If you
text the show and you don't, the old rule used to be if you text the show and don't give us a nickname, our old producer, who was amazing, would nickname you. It's having something to do with your first ever text. Cannot stress how great Colfax was as a producer. Just really good.
He was good.
Yeah, so good. It's hard to find those kind of producers anymore. You know what I mean?
You have a co-host.
Well, no. We'll talk about that later. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day. I got an interesting one, too, about the Colorado Buffaloes that we'll get into. Taysom Hill, Bill Belichick news, and the WNBA. Again. You're just awful. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
What is that?
It's a new one from Men Without Hats. Or Men With Hats. I don't know. I don't remember the name of the band.
What is this? This was not approved. This is your weird European gothic vampire funeral music. That's not part of the show. They don't even speak American here. Michael, come on. What are you doing? No. That is terrible. Let's throw that one in the dumpster. That one goes in the dumpster. Don't try to sneak one past me,
Wait,
Michael.
Is it smash or trash?
Don't try to sneak one past me and then act like, oh, it's from Bright Hands or whatever. Like, it's just a common name that anybody would know. You knew what you were doing.
You've heard of Men with or Without Hats.
No. That's your vampire gothic funeral music.
Their number one song has 239 million listeners.
There's a lot of freaks out there. You should know. You guys are going to your Comic-Con rallies and nerd shops. You know, it's a lot of you, the same kind of people out there listening to Man with Hats or whatever. I know what you were doing.
So we're calling this a trash?
Yes. No, that's not even for our show.
Trash alert. Trash alert.
This whole segment's been trash because you ruined the mood.
It's an energetic song. I'll delete it from the playlist, which you never add to.
I built the playlist. I just haven't added recently.
According to Spotify, I built the playlist.
I added all the new songs.
You added like 5 songs.
I added like 30 songs.
Yeah, and now there are like 200.
And you must have just went in there and added a bunch of bad stuff. Can we get some better songs? Hooligans, can we get some recommendations today for bumper songs?
Not going to happen. I am in charge. I am the co-host.
You're not the co-host, and you're not in charge. Your name's not on the show.
Who's the WAC-12 guy?
The WAC 12. The
LAC 12.
You can't even get his thing right.
Come on, LAC 12.
He's not giving us a nickname. He did say the W in WNBA stands for whiny. What a joke. He's been listening to you too much, I think, Michael.
They do whine, though, but then basketball in general is kind of a whiny thing.
You're a whiny thing.
No, I'm a complainy thing.
Everybody whines in sports. You act like, oh, the Broncos never do it. Everyone whines in sports. If
that
there's
is
an
true.
Official in it, if there's an official in a sport, you're going to whine about it.
Yeah, I think if you whine too much, like you should get penalized. I don't like the 15-yard penalty thing, though. That's ridiculous. It's like the same as like punching someone. It's the exact same.
Okay.
Exact same penalty yardage.
Top stories of the day coming up next. Alex Taylor. I've reached out to him. He's a good friend of ours. Alex Taylor, of course, works for he's covering the Wyoming Cowboys, and he writes for WyO Sports. So there's this crazy story about the Cowboys punter Bart Edmiston. We're going to talk about this. This is a weird story, man. It's kind of a spooky one for him. So keep it here on The Whole Show. We will be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.